Speaking of getting myself in trouble, I'm about to do something that might get me in trouble. We'll see. I'm going to show a video this morning, and I'm kind of sticking my neck out on it because it's not a typical video you would expect to see in church. But I'm going to show it to you because of the significance of today being the day we should be remembering the Passover, the day we should be remembering that God brought the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, and how that points to the second Exodus and the greater Moses, he who was greater than Moses, who brought us out of the bondage of sin. The title of my message today is Hero of the Story. And this has nothing to do with the video. Well, kind of a little bit. But I have this habit of watching a lot of YouTube videos because there's a lot of really good YouTube videos that explain scripture. And you got to be careful because there's some really bad ones out there too. So I start searching around YouTube channels and seeing the different videos that are out there. And I saw this one, and it's by a singer that I like. He's a Hebrew singer, and you have to like reading subtitles to listen to his music because almost everything he sings is in Hebrew. And I know a few words in Hebrew, but not enough to pick out what he's talking about in his songs. But as I was kind of scrolling through things on YouTube, I saw the title of one of his songs, The Hero of the Story. And it immediately took me back to what Val has often taught about, that when Jesus taught the parables, the hero of the story is always God. And so as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, today's going to be kind of a combination talk where I talk a little bit about the Passover and a little bit about Palm Sunday, and how Christ entering into Jerusalem on what we title Palm Sunday is a picture of God saying, remember what I did here. Remember what I did in the Passover. Because it's the start of the Passover celebration. It Palm Sunday, the 10th of Av, is the Sunday, the 10th of Nisan, is the Sunday in which you pick, or not the Sunday, it's the day in which on the Jewish calendar you pick the lamb that's going to be sacrificed on the 14th of Av, on Passover. And so I wanted to talk about Palm Sunday today. I wanted to talk about Jewish culture. Because when we take the New Testament and divorce it from Jewish culture, there's a lot of things that we miss, a lot of nuances about the story that we miss. And I'm going to show a video in just a few minutes that talks about how the Jews look at Passover today. And it's a little tongue-in-cheek. It's a little bit slapstick in it. But it still has the message of how they celebrate Passover and some of the nuances that we see. And part of the reason I want to show it is just because I had fun watching it. Last night, Teresa and I was kind of scrolling around YouTube, and I saw this, and I played it. And Teresa and I just started laughing about it. And I said to her, I should show this tomorrow in church, just kind of joking around, thinking, well, this probably wouldn't be appropriate to. And she said, why not? You should do it. And I thought, oh, I don't know. And So I sent it to my grandson, and he watched it, and then I called him, and I said, I'm thinking about showing it at church tomorrow. Do you think I should do that? He said, absolutely. Grandpa, you have to show it. How many of you remember the movie The Lion King, or had kids or grandkids at the time that The Lion King came out? I hope a lot of hands come up, because this has a lot to do with The Lion King. This group of Jewish men got together, and they sing about the Passover, and they set it to the music of The Lion King. So we're going to watch. The name of the group is 613. And before I decided to show it, I thought, I need to know what the name of this group represents. Why 613? Why do they call themselves that? And I looked it up, and they call themselves that because 613 is the number of commandments in the Torah. I mean, we look at the Torah and we say it's 10 commandments. But actually, in all of the Torah, there's 613 commandments. So this group calls themselves 613. They're religious Jews. I don't believe any of them know Jesus as their Savior, but that's okay. We're going to watch it anyway. So let's watch a video.
To hurry. wonderland we were slaves. So we're humming free, culinarily. I'm eating a matzah.
And who doesn't love some good matzah?
What's a matzah?
Nothing. What's a matzah with you?
We had to hurry from the land we were slaves.
Yeah, see it, Mo.
So we're humming free.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed that. I just love the creativity of it. But there's a couple things I want to point out that they did. At the time they say, as we prepared for the Seder, it seemed like it would take forever, and you see them sweeping. As a Jewish family prepares for Passover, they clean their whole house, and it's like spring house cleaning on steroids. They make sure that there is no leaven within the house so that when Passover comes, they're not breaking the Passover by having leaven in their house. In fact, a Jewish family will take all their leaven and they will sell it to their Gentile neighbors. And then they buy it back after it's all done. So there's 8 days where they don't eat anything with leaven in it, anything with yeast in it. To this day, religious Jews, even secular Jews, if you talk to a Jew and they have nothing to do with being a religious Jew, almost all of them still will celebrate the Passover. Even the secular Jews, they still often, most likely, will celebrate the Passover. One of the professors at Israel Bible College, which is the college I've talked about often in the past, where I've done some studying online, looking into scripture in the Old Testament, he was brought up in a kibbutz, a commune in Israel. And it was completely secular, it was atheistic, but everybody there celebrated the Passover. And so remembering that God brought the children of Israel out of bondage from the Egyptians is important to them. And God told them to every year remember what he did. Because not only is it important to them, it should be important to us because it points us to the fact that God is faithful in his word, that when he said he would do something, he would do it. When he told Abraham that this land would be theirs for all generations, he meant it. When he told Abraham that his descendants will go into captivity, but after 400 years, they would come back to the land. He meant it. He is a God who keeps his promise. And all of that paints an incredible picture of what Jesus did on the cross. Because the blood of the Lamb was spilled so that the children of Israel could be delivered from the hand of Pharaoh. The blood of the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world was spilt so that we would be saved from the penalty of our sin. So this morning I want to look a little bit about Palm Sunday and what happened on Palm Sunday and how it was foretold.
I also want to look just briefly at what we call the Last Supper, when Jesus celebrated the Passover with his 12 disciples. And very unique thing that we often overlook. When it's talking, Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's celebrating the Passover with them. And in a couple of the gospel accounts, it said, then they sang a hymn and they went out from there. We know what that hymn was. We know what they sang. Because in the Jewish celebration of Passover, they still do it today. They sang the Hallel songs, which are Psalms 113 through 118. The last one of them, Psalm 118, speaks of, well, I'm not going to tell you yet. We'll wait for a second. I'm going to go right into Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk about Palm Sunday for a minute. Then we'll come back to the Hallel Psalms. In Matthew 21, verses 1 through 9, we read the account of when Jesus entered Jerusalem. Last week when I talked about Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus met Jesus as he was traveling toward Jerusalem. So he came down the eastern side of the Jordan River. He crossed the Jordan River at Jericho, and he healed Bartimaeus, and then he went on to fellowship with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus trusted him to be his savior at that point. After that, he traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover with his disciples. And when he entered Jerusalem on that Sunday, on the 10th of Nisan, on the Jewish calendar, Matthew describes it this way. When they had approached Jerusalem and had come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, when Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. This took place to fulfill what was spoken of through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, on the colt of a donkey, the foal. I'm sorry, I just messed that up. Even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on their coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the ground, and others were cutting branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowds going ahead of him and those who followed were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now, if we take this event and we remove it from the culture that was in the, if we remove it from the Jewish culture and the culture of remembering the Passover, there's a few things that we miss. First of all, as I said just a little while ago, the 10th of Nisan is the day the Jews choose the sacrificial lamb that will be sacrificed on the 14th of Nisan. This is the day that Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Now, when a father of a Jewish family is ready to select a lamb for sacrifice, he goes and finds a lamb without spot or blemish. The lamb can't have any bruises. It can't have any spots or blemishes on it. He brings it into their home. And for these 4 days, the family cares for the lamb and watches over it closely to make sure that it doesn't hurt itself, to make sure that it doesn't do anything that's going to cause a blemish or a spot. so that when it is sacrificed, then it can fulfill what is spoken of in Exodus when God told the children of Israel to choose a lamb. It had to be without spot and blemish. When Jesus rides into Jerusalem, he's hailed as the king. But if they were paying close attention, they would have realized that he was presenting himself as the spotless lamb on the day that the spotless lambs should have been chosen. He was without sin. He was without blemish. He was pure and holy. Only a spotless lamb could be used for a sacrifice. And he filled that. But we miss that if we don't understand the Jewish culture. I've listened to a lot of Jewish people who have trusted Christ as their Savior talk. And they've talked about their youth and what it was like looking at Christianity from a Jewish perspective. And I think everybody that I've heard talk about that has said, well, we were convinced that Jesus was Catholic, that the New Testament was written by the Pope, and that it was a way to, if you looked at it closely, you would find in it that the way to mistreat the Jews. But when they came to actually reading it, when they came to the point where they actually read it, they opened up the New Testament and they came away saying, this is the most Jewish book I've ever read. I've heard like 5 or 6 different Jewish people talk about when they came to faith in Christ and opened the New Testament for the first time, they realized that it is a Jewish book. It is a book based on the historic roots of the Jewish faith. Because God is the God, the same God who sent his son to die on the cross is the same God who said to Abraham, I will give you this land for all generations. And it's a continuation of the old covenant being presented and now the new covenant being realized through the blood of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at Matthew's description of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem for the final time while he was here in his first coming. And there's starts out by quoting Zechariah 9:9 when it says, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even the colt, the foal of a beast of burden. If we remember back to the time when Jacob is blessing his 12 sons, he speaks to each of his 12 sons, and I've talked about this in the past, but when Jacob is laying about to die, he calls his 12 sons into him, and he blesses them. And when he gets to Judah, he blesses him, and he speaks to Judah about your seed will be as a donkey, the foal of a donkey, and it will be attached to the choicest vine. So if we look at Zechariah's prophecy, Zechariah foresees Jesus coming on the day that the lambs are sacrificed, and Jesus offering himself as the spotless lamb to be examined for 4 days before the sacrifice. And it goes back even further than Zechariah. It goes back to Genesis 49, where Jacob speaks of the fact that the choicest vine will be attached
to a colt, the foal of a donkey. God had prepared from the start his means of salvation, his means of taking the separation that sin had caused and restoring it by the blood of Christ. And we see it throughout Scripture. And here we see it as Jesus rides into Jerusalem to offer himself up as the sacrificial lamb without spot or blemish. But here's what happened. When he rides into Jerusalem, they didn't see him as the lamb that would be slain. They saw him as the son of David, Mashiach ben David, the conquering hero. They thought that they still didn't get it, even after the 3 years of Jesus' ministry and him telling them that he was going to die for their sins, that he was going to be taken and crucified. They still didn't get it. They said, "Hosanna to the Son of David." But then they went on to quote from, I'm sorry, turn my page. They went on to quote from Psalm 118. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." In Hebrew, that would be Baruch Haba B'Shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we see that in Psalm 118, in the passage between 19 and 29. And I want to just read that, because if we read that, we'll see some things that happen, see some things that David is talking about that we can very easily miss if we don't read closely. Psalm 118, 19 through 29. "Open to me the gates of the righteous. I shall enter into them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous will enter through it. I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech you. O Lord, we beseech you, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed, we have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords to the horn of the altar. You are my God, I give thanks to you. You are my God, I extol you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is forever." Now, when we read that, and if you weren't looking at my notes for that psalm, for that portion of the psalm, if you were looking at your Bibles, depending on what Bible you have, some of the Bibles translate one phrase a little bit differently, and in their translation, it has nothing to do with a sacrifice. But if you go back to the original Hebrew, quote on mine is from New American Standard Bible, and it says, "Bind the festal sacrifice to the horns of the altar." When a sacrifice is brought into the altar, they bind it to the horns of the altar. Now, the horns of the altar are on the four corners of the altar, are four little cutouts that sort of resemble a horn. They're called the horns of the altar. When that sacrifice is there, it's bound to the altar, and then it's sacrificed at that point. And the blood is spilled and it's collected. If we don't remember that, we don't understand that here in Psalm 118, it's saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and he is going to be sacrificed. So when Jesus came into the city,
when he came into Jerusalem. This is a song, this is a hymn that is sung every year at Passover. Every Jew there, as Jesus came into the city, would have known this psalm. They quote from the psalm. They said, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But they missed the fact that just before that, it talks about him being sacrificed. So, or actually just after that, it talks about him being sacrificed. So if we read this in this passage, we can see what we term today as Holy Week happening in just one little psalm. Because we see the Lord, we see in this day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord, O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. When we read in the New Testament, in Matthew, it says, Hosanna to the Son of David. Okay, now in Psalm it doesn't say to the Son of David, but it does say Hosanna. Because where it says, O Lord, do save us, we beseech thee. This is the English translation of two Hebrew words, Hosanna. It's pray, O Lord, do save, please, we beseech thee. So, save us, please, is what's being said here. When Jesus rode into the city, they were shouting out, Hosanna, which is shouting out straight from Psalm 118. O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. And so in Psalm 118, we see David prophesying what's going to happen on this day. On the day when Jesus rides in and offers himself as the pure sacrifice, the spotless lamb. And then David goes on to say, the Lord is God, and he has given us light. What did Jesus just say in one festival before this? The festival before this was the festival of Sukkot. In Jewish culture, straight from the Bible, they are commanded to go to make pilgrimage to Jerusalem three times. One of those three times is the Festival of Tabernacles. We call it the Festival of Tabernacles. The Jews call it Sukkot. When Jesus made pilgrimage at Sukkot, he sat in the courtyard of the temple and he said, I am what? The light of the world. And here we look back to David's psalm. And it says, the Lord is God. He has given us light. And if we look at the Hebrew, that verb that talks about giving us light, it can also be translated, he has become a light for us. The Lord is God. Yahweh is God. He has become light for us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords to the altar. Earlier in this psalm, David says, you have become my salvation. And David is looking ahead to the time when Jesus would come and offer himself as a sacrificial lamb. And the crowd would say, Hosanna. In the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. And as we get ready to celebrate Easter, as we get ready to celebrate the resurrection, we should be looking to who Jesus said he was and remembering the sacrifice that he made for us. Because the Jews at that time should have known what was going on and they missed it. But as we celebrate the Passover, as we celebrate Good Friday and then Easter, remember the awesome, awesome gift that God gave us in sending His Son to die for us. That the sin that separated us from God could be forgiven because it was washed away by the blood of the Lamb. It's washed away by the festal sacrifice. So blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for being the hero of the story. I thank you for coming to our rescue as we remained in bondage to our sin. And you spilled your blood so that we might be free. We love you. And we worship you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.